G Sovereignty, and hope everyone's having a good time so far at the conference. I've been building stuff with Nostra for a couple of years now, and started the Nostra Review podcast, which some people might remember. I received a grant from OpenSats, which I'm super grateful for. It's enabled me to spend the last 12 months working on Nostra Rocket. And okay, I'm going to talk about separation of business and state. When I was a kid, my grandfather used to tell me bedtime stories about communism, which is not as fun as you think it actually is. He grew up in a farming village in Ukraine, and like he told me stories about how the soldiers would come and take all the farming equipment, like all the shovels and the rakes and the plows and all this stuff. They were like literally seizing the means of production. And if you tried to hide the tools from them or something, or you tried to resist somehow, they would just kill you or send you to Gulag. And that didn't really, like, I didn't really know what to make of that as a six-year-old kid. But in 2007, just a few months before the first bankruptcy of the financial crisis, I was in Beijing, where I met a professor of economics who teaches at the Central Party School of the Communist Party of China, which is where all these guys go to learn how to govern the country and stay in power. Even the big man himself went to this school. So this professor knows quite a lot about the nature of power. And he told me something very interesting, which made all my grandfather's stories suddenly make sense. And what he told me has deep implications for Bitcoin. And not only that, but it gives us a way to think about Nostra. It shows us a very clear picture of how we can use Nostra to unlock the next phase of Bitcoin's development, not as money, but as a territory of freedom. So we're all familiar with the fact that the state uses violence. But as this professor explains, violence is not the actual source of the state's power. Violence is just one of the tools they use to protect the real source of their power, which is their capture of the economy. And so back in my grandfather's day, they'd do this physically. They'd physically capture the means of production by taking all the farming tools, right? Today, it's the same thing, but it's more sophisticated. So the way it works nowadays is it's similar to how social media companies operate. Like social media companies, they capture a network. They capture social relationships, right? And so it's a network of social relationships that they're capturing, and they control access to that network. And they have absolute power over the network, so you act the way they want or they rug you. And so most people just comply, right, because they don't want to lose their time investment into the platform. The state and the financial parasites, they do the same thing, but instead of capturing social relationships, they capture economic relationships, and they control access to the economic network, which is the economy itself. So they've seized the means of production, but it's in a different way. And so fiat currency, it's not backed by violence, as a lot of people think. It's actually backed by a captured economy. And that's what gives the fiat dominion its power. We can emancipate humanity from the slavery of this captured economy by creating our own economy in parallel, in a way that can't be captured by parasites. And creating a parallel economy, that's exactly what Bitcoin is for. Bitcoin is like a new type of country or a new territory with its own economy. And these are two distinct economic territories, right? We've got the fiat dominion and our territory of freedom. But the problem is that, like, our new territory of freedom is completely dependent on imports from the fiat dominion. So, like, if you want a new phone or a new computer or any of the services that are commonly available in the economy, even if you just want something like a pencil, as simple as that, we don't produce any of that in our territory of freedom. So you have to import it from the fiat dominion. And one of the fundamental axioms of economics is that whoever produces what you want to buy, they decide how the trade is settled. So just like when you go into a shop, if you want to buy a can of Coke, right, and the shop only accepts cash, and you only have a Visa card, like, you can try and tell them how good it is to accept credit cards, but if they want cash, then you don't get the Coke until you give them cash. And like, maybe there's some random guy in the shop who, for some reason, they can accept credit cards. So you can pay them with your credit card, and they'll pay the cash to the shop on your behalf, and then you get the Coke. But it's like, you don't get it until the trade is settled in cash, because that's what the shop is asking for. And everyone who's producing stuff in the fiat dominion, they want to be settled in fiat. So you can buy stuff from the fiat dominion, and you can pay in Bitcoin quite often these days, but you're not getting the actual product or service until the trade is settled in fiat. So spending Bitcoin that way, it just creates demand for fiat. So whoever produces the goods and services in the economy that are in demand, they decide what currency the economy uses. That's just the fundamental aspect of the economy. So a Bitcoin standard, it just means that Bitcoiners produce everything, right? That's what a Bitcoin standard is. Because if Bitcoiners produce everything, then it's Bitcoiners who decide what currency will be used by the economy. Or another way to think of it is, if Bitcoin is the currency we're using in the economy, it just means that everyone in the economy is a Bitcoiner. Instead of making this happen by getting better at producing goods and services ourselves, we seem to be focusing all our energy on convincing people who already produce stuff. We're trying to convince them to use our money, right, to adopt Bitcoin. But imagine if, instead of begging productive people to use our money, if we could just make products and services that are so awesome that everyone wants them and can't live without them. And we're Bitcoiners, so they can only buy this stuff with Bitcoin, right? Because we're only going to accept Bitcoin. If we have another contentious fork, the people who decide which fork wins will be the people who produce the stuff, because they decide which fork can be used to buy the stuff. We have the smartest people, right? Because the smartest people, they want freedom. They don't like being stolen from. They want to be able to build stuff. So we have all the smartest people on our side, I think, right now, like, more or less. We can create things that the captured economy can't even dream about, right? They can't even conceptualize the kind of things that we can do. But you can't make anything alone. You can't even make a pencil by yourself, right? You need to be able to work together with other people. And right now, the way that we do that, whenever people get together to pursue some kind of venture, the first thing they do is they register a company with the state. And that's a big problem, because a company is a branch of the state. Right? That's why even Bitcoin companies like Strike and River and Unchained, they have a compliance team. Right? The state tells them what to do and they comply. So they're ultimately controlled by the state. So they're a branch of the state. It's not their fault. I'm not trying to shit on the Bitcoin companies, but that's just the way it is. And it's not just the big guys. I see this all the time. Like, someone in Freedom Tech, they get a cool idea for a new thing, and the first thing they do is they go and incorporate an entity and make themselves governable. Right? Registering a company, incorporating a venture, it makes you governable. That's the whole point of doing it. Bitcoin's entire value proposition is that it cannot be controlled by the state. None of us would be here if it was controlled by the state. No one would even know about it. It'd just be yet another financial instrument. So all the good things about Bitcoin are a function of it being separate from the state. But if you use Bitcoin as a company, your Bitcoin activity is governable by the state. So you forfeit Bitcoin's entire value proposition. There's no such thing as separation of money and state if you're a company. It doesn't exist. And this also means, if you think about it carefully, this also means there's actually no 21 million cap on the supply if you're a company. That doesn't exist. What companies call Bitcoin is not Bitcoin. It's Bitcoin is permissionless. It doesn't need KYC. You can send any amount of money to anyone on the planet for any reason. And what companies are using is obviously something else, because Bitcoin is not permissionless for companies, right? Their Bitcoin usage is regulated by the state. This is a fork. Bitcoin is currently being forked, It's not a protocol level fork, it's a regulatory fork. One fork is permissionless, genuine Bitcoin. The other fork is permissioned by the state. And most people haven't really noticed this yet because the permissioned fork is mostly interoperable with genuine Bitcoin right now. But as the parasites become more threatened by Bitcoin, this fork is going to become more and more restrictive. Then it gets even worse because Bitcoin defunds the state as we know it, right? So it's going to be fun to watch from a safe distance, but I don't think I'd want to be involved in any of this. So the parasites don't actually have a choice. They're going to rug every single one of these ventures by regulating them to the point that they become the enemy of Bitcoin and the enemy of freedom. Like, they don't have a choice. So we have this new territory of freedom, but it's dependent on imports from the fiat dominion. So we need to produce goods and services in our territory of freedom. And we need to work together to be able to do this. We need to be able to collaborate. But the way we do this right now is we use companies, but we can't use companies because incorporating a company makes your business permissioned by the fiat dominion. So that's a non-starter. So what's the solution here? Nostr gives us a self-custodial and portable web of trust that lets us build new types of social media in a way that can't be captured and gated and permissioned by parasites. And this web of trust can also let us build a new type of venture and a new type of economy that can't be captured and gated by parasites like governments and banks. A company is just a way to coordinate a way to control the allocation of resources towards some goal, right? So what if we refactor the commercial venture as a non-custodial coordination layer between sovereign individuals allocating their own time and resources towards solving a problem that they believe is worth solving? And that's what I've been working on for the last sort of year or so. And instead of having a centrally planned commercial venture, this is just it's a coordination layer that focuses sovereign human action towards solving problems for fun and profit. And I'm super grateful to OpenSats for a grant that they gave me. And also Sovereign Engineering with Pablo and Gigi was just really, really good for this. It helps solve a lot of problems. So this T-shirt that I'm wearing right now, this is the first product created with this new way of coordinating a commercial venture. It was created in response to the problem of Nostrocket itself not having any swag for the conference, right? So now I'm going to show you how this process works. So Nostrocket is just a Nostr client using standard relays. Just like you can make social media clients, you can also make more complex clients that do other stuff. There's no servers, there's no caching, there's nothing. It's purely just a Nostr client with standard relays. And here you can see the people who have been solving problems in the critical path towards creating Nostrocket itself. And this shows the proportion of work that everyone's contributed. And part of that work is creating swag because all the cool projects have swag. So this is the problem tracker. It's the Nostrocket problem tracker. Where you can see the problems that were solved to create these shirts. So I'll come back to this problem tracker in a moment to show you something very special about it. But right now, I just want you to notice that there's a problem listed here about not having any designs for any graphics for the T-shirts. And so I solved this problem by creating this PDF file. Apparently, that's all you need. And it's just simple words on a shirt because I'm a pretty boring guy. And so now that I've solved that problem, I need to communicate the value of my work in comparison to the work of other people who've also contributed to the project. And so you do the work first, and then you tell the other contributors how much you believe that work is worth. And the only work that's valid is work that solves a problem, because solving non-problems can be fun, but it's not a good foundation for a sustainable venture. And Making everything centered on problems and solutions, it also creates an environment that parasites can't survive in. So, oh, that was actually meant to play. Okay, anyways. So here I'm just putting in like the value of the, this is the calculator, to calculate the value in sats. And this is the, this is what's called a merit request, which is just, this is where other contributors to the project can see my request here and they can vote to approve or reject it. And it's not just some like wishy-washy, like I like this guy, I don't like this guy. It's not like that. It's there are clear rules and all you need to do is decide if the if this merit request is valid based on the rules. So having rules like this allows the organization to operate without any central authority making decisions about what direction things should go in. The direction that the project goes in is an emergent property of the rules about which type of problems and solutions are valid. And it's important to have clear rules about how to judge this because the this is the entry point to the organization. And any ambiguity about the rules gives parasites something to mess with. So we make the rules very clear and explicit. So this has now been approved by the existing contributors and I now have these merits here in this table. So merits are just purely a way to quantify what proportion of work was done by everyone. And now the t-shirt designs are done, but I don't know anything about actually printing t-shirts. So, but Sherry does. Some of people who have met Sherry, she's been at a few of these conferences. She found a supplier and arranged printing of the shirts. And so that's, she said, submitted a merit request, it's approved. So she's in its table as well. Now she arranged the printing, but she didn't want to pay the printers because they don't take Bitcoin. But that's just a problem to solve. The t-shirt printers haven't been paid. Jerko wants merits, so he solved the problem by paying the printers with a bank transfer. And I wanted to show this example because it highlights the fact that we can utilize the Fiat Dominion's productive capacity, and our territory of freedom can add value to that. So this is how we can bootstrap our productive base despite not actually really being able to produce anything right now. So Jerko solved the problem and by paying the Fiat invoice, and so now he has merits in his table as well. And the reason there are all these other merits in there aside from the t-shirt merits is because the organization actually exists to build NOS Rocket itself, and the t-shirts are just part of that. So most of the problems being solved are software development problems. But you can make a rocket that just creates t-shirts if you wanted to. So now let's look at how this actually makes profit, because that's how it can become self-sustaining. So anytime someone pays for something built by a rocket, the sats go directly to the contributors. It's non-custodial. So you'll notice here that the revenue is all zeros because no one's bought anything from NOS Rocket yet, because this talk I'm giving right now, this is the announcement that it's now live. All right, so now it's time for a live demo, and you have to be patient while I fix whatever breaks because it's a live demo. So this is nosrocket.org, and I'll go here to the rockets. This is the NOS Rocket, and here's the merit table here with the proportion of how much work everyone's done. And this is the t-shirt product, which you can buy right now. So there's different sizes here, small, medium, large, extra large. So if you buy one, if someone buys one right now, then you'll see how the sats flow directly to the contributors. And there's only like 10 of these shirts, so someone just bought one. And there you can see the sats kind of, see they expand. Okay, cool, Jeff got one. And who's, you get, anyways. So if you buy one, anyway, I've got them here at the conference, and this is the only place you can get one of these shirts. So the cool thing about working this way is that this new type of venture doesn't have any accounting overhead. The whole concept of profit and loss calculation is obsolete. It's non-custodial, so it doesn't need a treasury, so it doesn't have the overhead of defending a treasury, technically and socially. So I think it's going to be quite an efficient way to work. Okay, now I want to show you something cool about the problem tracker. So this is the NostRocket problem tracker here, and the main idea I want to get across here is that all the problems exist in a tree type structure. So to create a new rocket, you state the problem you're trying to solve, and all the other problems are nested under that one. That's how it becomes guided in a way. And so here's the T-shirt problem, the graphics problem that I solved, that we don't have any designs. That's nested under this problem, which is that there are no T-shirts. So here's the other problems solved there. And that's nested under, there's no swag for Nostriga. And that's nested under, not everyone knows about NostRocket. And so they're all in a tree. And this is the actual problem that NostRocket is solving. We don't have a good way to focus the action of multiple humans while remaining sovereign. And it's a long explanation there of what I'm trying to do. And these are all the sub-problems of that. Most of them are software problems because that's just where we are at the moment. And that's nested under Bitcoin's not fixing the world fast enough, and I explain what I mean by that there. And this is the top-level problem that we're not living up to our full potential as humanity, because it doesn't... Like, you need to make profit to make these things sustainable, but you also need some kind of unity of moral purpose to guide these things. Otherwise, we're just going to create the same situation again that we already have today. So that's why I think if you create a rocket and you can't figure out how it can be nested under this problem, then maybe it's something that's bad for humanity somehow. And it also allows you to see, like, how if you're doing something sort of some menial level task, you can see exactly how that relates back to our adventure as the human species. So you can kind of experiment with NostRocket right now to create your own rocket for your project. It's buggy and we're working on it. But if you want to stay in the loop, there's you can subscribe to updates. And you'll get updates by DM. Nostr's Web of Trust, it's great for social media. It's going to become the entry point to the internet. But it's also going to become the entry point to the commercial venture and the global economy. And one way or another, like, this is my approach, but one way or another, we need to stop the economy from being dependent on fiat slavery, and we need to make it dependent on human freedom and the emancipation of the human spirit. Like, we need to get this done. That's enough for me. Thank you very much.